Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Mr. Mhlanga.
Good afternoon, sir.
Are you well this afternoon? Did you have a good day?
Yeah, I would say it was a good day.
Lovely. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. You know, this month over, we actually every week have been talking about autism, you know, since it is a month that we talk about it, raise our awareness about it, and make sure that most people who are unaware know, so that we can be able to relate with them. Individuals who are neurodivergent. Now, mothers have been the ones who've been speaking to us over the last couple of weeks, and who are often the primary parent participants in autism spectrum disorder, especially in the research part of it. As a result, little is known about the father's perceptions regarding their children's ASD and whether these perceptions differ from the mom's. Now, as we come to the end of the Autism Awareness Month, we're going to be hearing more about raising an autistic child from a father's perspective. Now, Jackson, please do share with us your experience and how autism has touched your entire family.
Yeah, autism, yeah, at the beginning, it was a victim. Having had kids that did with the same them, it was just a shock to the system. But fortunately enough, for me, and it's about being grounded, the belief that God doesn't give you anything that you can live with.
Yeah, Jackson, I'm not sure. You keep on cutting it. I'm not sure what is causing that. You know, we keep on missing parts of what you are saying. I don't know if you can move around, if it's possible, or should we try you on another line?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. But I think you kept on cutting quite a lot. Right, let's go for it. What was your initial response then to your child's diagnosis when you first heard about it?
It was a shocker. Yeah. But being a Christian and an Adventist and being raised by a pastor... it was a difficult, but at the same time, God doesn't give you challenges that are beyond your abilities. That was the first step of taking it.
Now, what are the stages that a father goes through in order to arrive at acceptance? Would you say that there are any notable differences in the way that the father would typically respond versus a mother's response?
I don't know if I can speak in general terms.
Yeah, yeah.
But in general terms, you would find fathers that run for their life when they meet such situations. Having taken him to an autism school, you hear a lot of stories of fathers that become absent because the child is autistic. But in my case, it was a totally different thing altogether, because a child is a gift from God.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And at the same time, when you receive the gift that you prayed for, there is no way you cannot love a child. Our son is just like any other child. Actually, he gets even more attention than the normal kids that we have.
Lovely, yeah. Man, lovely. Must be quite beautiful, actually, giving that young man so much love and attention that he so much needs. Now, how has this experience impacted the way you approach your role as a father and as a primary male role model?
Yeah, the role for myself is quite simple. I'm saying it's simple in that I am an involved father. I'm not a father who sits down and reads newspapers while the wife is doing any other thing. When we're raising our kids, not even talking about him, it's total involvement in everything. So being there for the boy, it was a simple process for me.
I suppose this would have come from the other siblings. Is your boy the second or third one?
He's actually the third in the family. Three boys and one girl who is the last one.
Lovely, man, lovely. So I think naturally this would have then come from, having been a present father in any case by your nature from the first and second borns, eh?
Yes.
Now, understandably, a lot of emphasis is placed on supporting the neurodivergent person. What support would you say the parent or family of the autistic person also needs, and that is support? Is that support readily available?
You mean support for me or for my child?
For the family, yeah. For you and the family.
Support is there. When I'm talking about an extended family, our extended family is unique in its sense. In that we are all religious. And so accepting what had been given to us by God, it was easy. And the family too was available to assist emotionally and otherwise.
Would you then say that the kind of support that you get as a family is adequate?
Very much so. It is adequate.
Lovely.
In that even my sisters and brothers, I feel comfortable for them to be around him, because they treat him exactly the way we do.
And I think that is important, because many people may not be well educated in how you navigate around a person who is neurodivergent. So the fact that they've all made sure that they know and they're educated around neurodivergence, and they're being able to actually support you as a family, actually is a huge plus. Kudos to your entire family. Now, do you think that there is some kind of extra support that you as a father need to provide for the mother?
Extra support to the mother, I think it comes easy for me, because I'm involved. I'm involved to the extent that I cook, I clean, I do everything. So even challenges of changing diapers and changing and bathing the boy, even to this day, because he is not able to do that for himself.
How old is he now?
So he is 21, turning 22 this year.
Okay. Now, generally, and I love that you mentioned that, because some of the fathers who say they are present. Generally warm bodies, that's all. And they, it doesn't go beyond just being here and, you know, just being involved in the garden. Come back from the garden, you sit down, read the newspapers because you're the father, you're expecting food to land on your lap, etc. So that kind of support that you have been to the entire family actually is quite critical, because then you are able to also support your spouse, but also the other children, eh?
Yes, definitely.
Now, what are some of the greatest lessons you've learned through this journey that perhaps newer parents who have maybe much smaller children, perhaps a year, 2 years old, so just started with the journey of raising an autistic child? What are some of the lessons that you would share if someone is listening out there?
The lessons is just to be... It's just to be normal. Do not consider it as a challenge. It's normal. You know, something becomes normal because you have accepted it's in your life. So it becomes normal to you. Normal not as defined by the general public out there who have normal kids. So your normal becomes that child whom you, if I can put it in my own words, whom you must have an extended third hand or an extended body outside of yourself that you have to take care of. So for me, that's what I can advise the younger people to that. If it's a boy or girl, it becomes an extension to yourself. So whatever you do for yourself in terms of taking care of yourself, you do it. What the other hand does, the right hand does. So you probably have two right hands now and two left hands. So then you become two in one. So that's the, for me, that's the most effective. And not to challenge the child in a way of pushing them, but to be besides them and be understanding and assist where they have challenges.
Would you say the extra care and attention that you have provided for your son, the third born, would not cause the first and the second to say, but Dad, we also need attention?
I haven't encountered that. Maybe in their silence, maybe they see that. But fortunately enough, is that even the brothers and sisters give him attention just like I do. So yeah, that way I have a feeling they understand. In terms of why the attention, because he cannot do certain things for himself.
And then lastly, before I let you go, it's a young man who now should be ready for facing life in a few years. Is the education complete? What's going to happen when he is approaching the years which we have, where he has to work? Any plans there?
Yeah, at the moment, I'm kind of in a dilemma. But at the same time, we have a temporal school that we're taking him to. Because when he turned 21, the school that he was going to, Johannesburg Hospital School for Autism, just opposite the Constitutional Hill.
Right.
So when you are 21 now, you have to find other ways. But fortunately, they are other parents that have got a class of those that are above 21.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And they take care of them in a similar way that they've been taken care of. And one other thing is they try and teach them certain skills depending on the abilities of the kids. Unfortunately, for my son, his autism is that because autism presents with different levels.
Yes, yes.
And kids react in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So with him, he has a challenge of getting involved in physical work, little physical work.
Ah, okay.
But he would, for example, he would mess up.
Mm-hmm.
You pick up a broom, you say sweep, mm-hmm. and then he would sweep, but at the same time, he would be messing up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the issue. The issue here is trying to teach him to do something. So mm-hmm. they do that at school, and I must say, they have experience and the patience.
I see.
To just follow through and not be forceful.
Beautiful. Now, I've got a question that is coming on the line. You mentioned earlier that in your observation, many fathers would run, when they are receiving the news that the child is autistic and they don't get involved, and others would just simply disappear. Now, the question is, how can other fathers be encouraged to be involved and not feel the urge to run away?
I think it takes us back to why is the child here?
Mm-hmm.
The child is here, yes, as a gift of God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Gift from God, I mean. But you are, in a way, responsible for bringing that child to this world.
Yes.
So that alone, I should say to fathers who have a difficulty, is that you must accept your child is your responsibility.
Mm.
And no other person will love that child the way you do.
Exactly. Mm.
So for me, that's the most important thing.
Mm, mm.
The love that you have for the child doesn't depend on their abilities or do they look as a normal child. Your child is your child. I think when you are having a child, you shouldn't have really expectations that this child is going to succeed in life. We have normal children that don't succeed in life.
Yeah, true.
And as normal as they are, they give challenges. So our challenges are different. So for fathers that have got autistic children, the challenge is autism.
Yeah.
Rather than the other aspects of challenges that you get from normal kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, I must thank you, sir, for so much for coming through. And I think it's important what you're saying, that children have got to receive that masculine love to be able to have that balance between the feminine love from the mother and also the masculine love from the father, so that they grow up being rounded and well-rounded children who are actually able to receive both sets of love from both parents. I must say, I do appreciate that you have been able to be there as a father, stayed the course, and have been there for your son, not only for your son, by the way, for the entire family and all of the other children.
Yeah. One more thing, if you would allow me.
Yeah.
I feel the edge of passing this information
right
through this platform.
Mm-hmm.
My son was not potty trained.
Okay.
He had a lot of difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
But then there is a doctor called the Good Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
In Pretoria, Dr. Vienne Stander,
mm-hmm.
Who is a Christian. I think he's a Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
So he has an approach that even when you're seeing him, he prays and all that.
Oh, lovely.
But that's not the main focus. The main focus is that from 2018, we took him to that doctor, and a procedure that is called stem cell therapy was done on him.
Okay.
So after the stem cell therapy in 2019, it took over 6 months for that treatment, but they have a final treatment that they do, where they extract the bone marrow, which is believed to have the mast, they call it the mast cell, that is responsible for your development, which is almost like the engine where you find the DNA originality of a being in terms of his sensories and abilities.
Yeah.
So when they take that stem cell and spin it in one of the machines and put it back, it actually ignites the same process that was ignited when the child was being created from the womb. So it's called the stem cell therapy. So after he had done that, his eye contact developed, because he was a person that was not keeping eye contact. Mm-hmm. It developed.
Yeah, yeah.
His hypersensitivity reduced.
Mm-hmm.
And his cooperation to instruction improved.
Oh, okay.
And behavioral issues decreased. And the major problem that we had, which was poorly trained, was history after that.
So
yeah, it's quite a process that is expensive, but it brings quite some improvement.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure some relief to the boy himself as well.
Yes.
Lovely. My brother, Amasta, thank you so much for coming through and talking to us this afternoon. But praying for you and the family, and but God gives you the strength and the wisdom to raise not only the son, but all of the other children in the family. And of course, to grant your family the marriage, but the strength and the wisdom that both of you as parents need.
Thank you, sir.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic afternoon.
Same to you. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.